And since that is a constant thing lifelong, always something every day that you have to surrender. So the same thing is true about studying the Bible. There's something to learn every day. There's so much to learn every day, so I have a lot of trouble trying to choose what to study. And be told. And go to, I found another book on Ephesians, Brother Phillips. It's verse by verse. $14 or something. But I want you, whatever years you're headed, you have to study to carry on and see if that statement that we noted in that front jacket about that it has been said that the first chapter of Ephesians, I believe, is foundational to all New Testament study. And I think of that every day. And the more I think about it, the bigger and bigger and bigger it gets. And starting with what we are in Christ, because God chose us. And then that He's going to wind up the work that He chose to do. Which thing you and I fail to do many times is to finish the work that He chose us to do. We were on page 248. We were noting about the gathering of all the nations before the Lord at His coming to the Mount of Olives. This is when all the world shall see. And He gathers the nation before Him and He judges them. Now, we notice that this, I wouldn't say this will be the first act of the king, but very likely it is, on his assumption of, well, no, the first act of the king would be when he takes the seven seal book, begins to open those seals in Revelation. But now, here's an act among the nations. Now, man has dreamed of a one world government, and incidentally, brethren, the Baptist Monitor, and I had seen this somewhere else too, they are rebuilding or planning to rebuild the Tower of Babel. And I hear that old Babylon is planning, they're planning to rebuild that. Down in Iraq is the place. And incidentally, I mentioned to you about ordering a couple of volumes on earth. They were sold out, but bless their souls, they sent me one book yesterday on earth decalities. It's another volume. But they sent it to me, and I glanced just a little bit at it yesterday afternoon late. And you probably heard me mention the Babylonian ethic of creation. Have you heard of that? Well, they pretty well start off with that particular thing as to the origin and so on. So now how good it's going to be or what it may add to or so on, I do not know. But this much they have dug quite a bit already, and they are now digging more and more, and they have gotten down, I believe, the news or the in this article gotten down to Nebuchadnezzar's part of the old Babylon. You see, the sands of time covered over and over and over and over. So, it's a little peculiar, isn't it, that there's something up in Mount Ararat, and then there's something happening down to old Babylon, all about the same time. And I had some literature from the concern that I got this chart from the other day. And they said since Russia has gone down into Afghanistan, they're having problems of furnishing the literature that the people are demanding for a study of that. And now it has come out. Somebody is going to make a tour into Africa to see just how much influence Russia has on end the very southern tip of Africa, because she's going to take two chances. One, to hit at the Gulf of, Arabian Gulf or whatever that is down there, that's where the oil is coming out. But she intends also to get to where she can handle the sea lanes around Africa on up toward us. And all of these things are happening at once, and he's kind of catching the gaze of the people in general somewhat. Now, I haven't looked at all this material that they have sent me. I want to look at it, and if I see anything more interesting, why, I'll pass it on to you. Because so much is converging. So much is converging. And the point is, the hot spot of the world is over there now. That's where it is. And incidentally, they are trying to induce Japan to help them to rebuild Babylon, the Tower of Babel, or whatever it is. But they're going to make another effort to try to bring the world together. So, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. There may be a real Babylon the Great to fall, and it may not be what we most commentators today say that it is Rome, you know, but it may not be, and you just can't tell. Incidentally, also, the Pope of Rome and this man of the Eastern Orthodox Church that the Pope visited recently at Istanbul, I believe it was, they're meeting on the Isle of Patmos in a few days to amalgamate the two arms of that. So, folks, the news, if we can stay up with it with our Bibles, is happening so fast that we can just see the situation. How quickly they come. And this one thing, there's pretty apt to be some kind of a move made see, gold now has gone down to about one half what it went up to be since they're going to make an effort to break this inflation in America, so on. Who knows what somebody's going to do that's in power to try to move to bring that situation into existence more quickly in order to try to keep the United States from ever becoming independent energy-wise. So there's just so many angles to keep watching. All right. Now then we notice that the king is twice over Jesus referred to himself as king. The judge once called him Lord. All right. He gathers all people, all nations now, and nations, and evidently now, brethren, this is going to involve representatives. But now, how many people is going to be over and in that area when this time comes, there's no telling. Because from the Orient, there will be 200 million soldiers that have come there. So, I don't see. We do know this. That old Israel, when they see him whom they pierced, they're going to recognize him. And there may be some more out of these others. Now that brings up another thing that we want to note here, and that's the basis of the judgment of these nations. Remembering this, that it's the living nations at that time. But you raised an interesting question, and one that I commend, and one that I think is perfectly legitimate, because there are some people that are from Ireland that be cited, or Missouri was.
I thought about that a lot. If these people that are really out there and are really behind it from these nations and are all there to grab Israel, grab the goods, and when the Lord comes back, some of them really see the truth. Now we know that a remnant of Magog is
Now, apparently, now it's hard to time the battle of Gog and Magog with Armageddon. In fact, the business, I see the strong possibility that Gog and Magog may be the beginning of the situation that will wind up at Armageddon. Now, anyway, if we will consider the war of Armageddon. All right, and then now you bring up something else.
Yeah.
You keep getting some news leaked out of Russia and of Christians that are mentioned there. The name Baptist is more or less tacked nearly all times, certain Baptists in Russia. Well, there may be a few of those fellows that will have heard the truth, and they get down there and see some of this thing, they may be converted.
We did just look at it. Just reasonably, in our reasoning, you'd say, now, who is it just so such a big fool enough to see these many folk dying in a war, and don't change your mind?
Yeah.
But they're gonna need a lot of blood.
Oh yeah.
All that blood flow like it's gonna flow.
Yeah.
I believe the battle of Armageddon is at the end of the tribulation period, and the battle of Gog and Magog is at the end of the thousand-year reign, according to Revelation 20, verse 7 to 8.
Well, I'm aware of that situation, and I've looked at it from as many different persons as I could to read it. There will be a battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the millennium. But there's a peculiar situation that, for my mind is concerned, the big thing today that's swaying the world politically and religiously is communism. Now, in the current Christianity today, and I'm going back and read it in a previous one I didn't, by the senator from Oregon, what's his name? Mark Hatfield. He's put out a kind of program that he would like to see that is being called Christian Socialism. Now, you can see where in the millennium we're going to have the needs of all humanity met. There will be the social side, if you please, if you want to think of plenty that this present communism tries to force. But I see the strong possibility that after God gives that to them under King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that there will still be some people who want to their independence from Him and try to do the same thing. And I wish that I could go back to some material that I had on Lucifer, on pride. And I can well see this, Brother Rice, the reason that there can be what we would call two gods, may gods, what I mean, two battles of it. Because when the devil goes forth to deceive the nations at the end of the millennium, there are some situations there that, oh, I wish I could recall all these incidents from my mind or go back and get it. But I got some things on the fall of Lucifer out of that that I've just never seen anywhere else. But I can see it in humanity. Ye shall be as gods. And that old nature and those people who will not be regenerated will come up again at the end of that period. That I think the very same thing that's threatening the world today, atheistic communism, which is a religion, but it's a religion, politics of plenty. Now it gets into some philosophical discussions or considerations go very far with that. But that's kind of the way I view the situation.
Gog and Magog mentioned in connection with Armageddon because the only thing I see is connection with the end of 1,000 years.
Well, Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the chapters that are used for a pre-Gog and Magog. Now, I realize that there's room for some argument on the situation. Okay, let's move down here. Now, We noticed one thing about this king was that there are some sheep there. Well, goats too. And I think he designates pretty well what makes the difference. Have any of you read any of the writings of Corey Ten Boom? Well, it'd be well if you'd scan that. She is, at least gets the credit for really saving a number of Jews, keeping them hidden and so on under the Nazi atrocities and things like that. And I see that as a kind of a possibility illustrating what this thing will be at the time that this takes place. Now notice, the basis of the judgment will of these people will be what? If you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren. And that word least of these simply means the least of these so far as the world's concerned. Worthless creatures, no good. And things like that. And I think now mind you, that's an opinion. We can definitely be sure that some Jews are involved in it. And I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't some of those who are converted during the tribulation period. They can't be involved in it. But the point simply is this, that there are some who did something for somebody, some others who didn't do something for somebody, that becomes the basis of their judgment. And really, I see no reason to try to do more than take this just exactly for what it says, literally. For I was in hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink.
Is that Matthew?
Matthew 25, verse 35. Now I'm reading in the Amplified. I was a stranger, and you brought me together with yourself, and welcomed and entertained and lodged me. Now we go on down just a little further. Probably further would be the word I don't want to use there. There were those who said, well, when did we see you thus? And then he said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, brethren, I've heard some people boast about that I wouldn't take a bit of money from a unsaved man for the Lord's work at all. You maybe have heard somebody say the same thing. I won't say that. Now, there's a promise in the Bible that whosoever gives a drink of cold water, because your servant shall not lose his reward. Now, let me give you a living illustration of that as far as I'm concerned. The last church I pastored in Arkansas, there was a man who wasn't even a member of that church, who was a better attender than many a member. Though he had an ailment, a liver ailment, that caused him to just, he couldn't keep from going to sleep. And he'd go to sleep sometime in service and snore so some of his kids would have to go and wake him up. But he just kept coming. He just kept coming. I knew the background of this man. When he first married into the family with his wife, he just worshipped his dad-in-law. He got him a hat just near like it. He had it turned up on the side just near like it. Everything. Until his dad-in-law just went so far stealing hogs and chickens and cattle when he could get away from it. He finally soured him. But anyway, before this happened, his dad-in-law, who happened to be a member of the old church where Our Lady was a member, where I was baptized, they had turned him out of the church. So that made the son-in-law mad, and he got out of the church too. And he stayed out, and he was still out at this particular time. But this one man looked like he could not do, he just wanted to do everything he could for me, and he did. And as I said, attended much more regular than many of maybe what you call a better church member. Well, I let him do it. I didn't go against it or anything, but I thought many times of that promise that the Lord has said, give a drink of cold water because you are a disciple. He shall not lose his reward. After I left there, that man went back and joined the Baptist church. And he died in the Baptist church. Now, somebody said, well, that's a long, tall story. How can you prove that that was part of the reward? Well, I can't, so far as I'm concerned. That, to me, shows that he was blessed somehow by being given a heart that he could get back in and make amends for being out all those years and so on. Now, that has caused me to have this attitude. I have heard one fellow say about a gambler walked up to him and handed him a $20 bill. And he said, fine, I'll accept it. Says the devil said, you serve it long enough, I'll let the Lord use it a while. Well, that's not my attitude at all on that point. But, the Lord is true to his promises. I know that you and I, one of our greatest sins, I think, is doubting the Lord on his promises. I guess that's one sin I have to repent more of every day than any other. But now here are some people who, as a nation, and doubtless these are leaders of a nation, who, have been somewhat friendly to the Jewish people, and I think maybe have helped out some of those who, I think, and you have your opinion, are saying during the millennium, it's going to be a very rough time for the whole business of them during that particular time. But he lets us know that this is, and those nations that did not do that will not be allowed as a nation to go into the millennial kingdom to be a nation for that 1,000 years in that period of time. And that, I know that there are people who, and the old brother who was daddy to me in the ministry, he made this more or less the general judgment. And he said, don't you know there's going to be gangs of people there? Yes, I know that. I know that. And there's going to be lots of adherents to those representatives or leaders of the nations that are there, and I think they're going to get the same thing these leaders get. And so far as they are concerned individually, I think, well, he said, then they will go away into eternal punishment. But those who are just and upright and in right standing with God into eternal life. So we're going to see even there. Nearly so many times we read in the Gospels, wherever Jesus appeared, there was a division in the people. A division among the people. Right here we still see that division among the people. And so far as these unbelievers, these wicked people, their place will be in the lake of fire. It'll be wherever Hades is now in the torment section. But when it's all cast into the lake of fire, at the white throne judgment, that's where they are. Now, I used to wish, and I guess I still do, that our nation could be one of the nations that would be allowed to go into the millennial reign. Maybe so, I don't know. But that's not the most important thing, really. The important thing for me and you is to try to get this word as far and wide to people as it is possible. Now, watch a little bit those books that I gave you and the foreword to it, an underlined section there in red that I called attention to on the book. Now, it's mind of conservative, whatever it is, it's Goldwater. But anyway, that statement there is concerning a law that is just as true in that realm as your laws, the teaching, and all others. And so that's the thing that's important. Now, how far he or anybody else may have gone following those principles, I can't be the judge. I don't know whether he still is or not. That's not the thing. The thing that I want, like the book is, for that one picture, that's in it. And you watch today in the political arena. We were talking at the breakfast table this morning. We just wondered. Kennedy said, I'm going on into the New York primary. I just mentioned her. I said, it's hard for that man to accept humiliation. But in different levels, brethren, that's for us all. Somewhere along the way. And it's going to be a rather humiliating situation for whatever may be left of the representatives if Ezekiel 38 and 39 does involve Russia pre-Armageddon or the beginning of Armageddon, it's on like that. It's one thing you can pretty well put it down. That old theory, the devil's not going to let it die just as soon as he's turned loose. He's going to deceive the nations again. Deceive. Look into that word, deceive. Okay.